Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, the desire to open and read together from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter number 10. Romans, chapter number 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them to preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the chapter we have read together, the Apostle Paul begins and he describes the desire that he had for the nation of Israel. And he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might be saved. And I believe that when we look at Apostle Paul's life and we look at how he went to different cities and established churches, that his goal was that everyone would be saved. We didn't see him acting any different towards the Roman soldier who was going to take his life the very next day when the earth shook and the prison doors were opened, and he held him back from taking his own life. His heart's desire was that that man would be saved. And a heart that loves the Lord loves man. Doesn't matter what nation, he comes from. A lover of the Lord is one who loves mankind also. And in his desire, or in his love for his Lord, he also has that love for the man that he would be saved. And so Paul is expressing here as his desire is that they would be saved. But he goes on also and he talks about why they are not. And we also can consider some of the things that are being said here. He says, I bear record that they have a zeal of God. So he can even look into his own life, and he actually does. And he talks about his life, and he can tell the Philippians later, and he tells them that, you know, if you want to look at a man and you want to be justified by the flesh, you can look at me. And I was a Hebrew. I was a Israelite. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee. I was taught. I was blameless. If you want to look at justification in the flesh, that's me. And yet, he said, when I weighed myself, when I learned Christ, when I saw who he was, I was willing to put all of those things away because there was no justification in any of that. So basically, he's telling the Jews, or he's telling us that the Jews are misguided. They have a zeal for God, but it is completely off base. It will lead them nowhere. And so we consider also, how can that happen to us today? Can we be misguided in any way where we have a zeal, we feel we are doing the Lord's work, and we're completely misguided, and there is no salvation in our life and or an expression of our heart, where later we will read what Paul speaks of that. He says they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This righteousness that he is speaking of cannot be obtained anywhere except at the cross. It is only at the cross that we receive the righteousness of Christ as we trade in. We give him our sins at the cross, and he gives us his righteousness. It is the only place to find it. We can just consider ourselves. If we look about us and we want to go to, let's say, Florida, we know we have to go south. But if we can spin around and we find a road that is perhaps beautiful to our eyes, a place that we want to travel, and we set off on that road and we're headed north, we'll never reach Florida. We'll get to Canada and we'll get to the North Pole. We'll freeze. But we're going on a road, we are misguided. We're being led by something other than the goal of what we set out or what we intended to travel to. As a Christian, can we go about traveling this road and end up in a completely different place? And we have the zeal, we're traveling, we're going, but we're completely misguided. That was Paul. He says, that was me. He tells the Philippians that. I had to give all of that up. I had to rely upon Christ. I had to go to the cross. That is where I received the righteousness. And he says here, they're ignorant of God's righteousness because they're relying upon themselves. So how is it that we would ever be relying upon ourselves? We would say, well, we don't. We really don't. But if we go about to do something, to do it for a reward, I'm supposed to do it, we're being misguided completely. Because our heart, it's what our heart is. The statement of our faith, or the confession of our faith, comes, as Paul says here, from our confession. That confession is not done just by our lips. No. Because he talks here of the heart. He says the heart, and when you speak of a heart, it speaks of the entire being of a man. It's who you are and who I am. And Jesus says in one of the Gospels, If I can find it real quick here, he says, I can't find it here, but he says in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe it, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth will speak. And so when we make our confession of faith, that has to come from the abundance of our heart. That has to come from who we are. And that confession then is made not literally just by our lips, it is expressed through our life. And so, dear ones, we can look at a well of water. The well is full of water, but that water has to come out through a bucket in order for that to be drawn out. And so our life is that bucket, and our heart is that faith. It's who we are, and that has to come out. Whatever is in our heart has to come out and has to be expressed through our life. That is our confession. The everyday life that you and I live. My dear brothers and my dear sisters. He says here, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The law was given, as he describes here later, and we can read, and Paul is bringing that out from from Deuteronomy chapter 30, says, where Moses is speaking of the nearness of God's word. He says, this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. He said, neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. He says, but the word is very nigh unto thee. It's in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. And so he says here also of Christ, he says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what saith it? What saith faith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And so that one of the miracles of Christianity is that Christ did descend from heaven and take on flesh. No one has to go for him. He came down. And the other miracle is that he ascended from the grave. You don't have to go into the deep to bring him up. And that is our faith. It is in Christ and his coming to earth to die and his resurrection from the dead. And he says, the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. In the epistle of Peter, He says, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And what is that? He says, by the word of God, which abideth, which liveth and abideth forever. So we are born again by the word of God. It is incorruptible. The word of God. And so, dear ones, we know that Jesus says he is the Word. And Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God hath enlightened our hearts. He says here, it is He has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is that light. He is that word. And what does Satan do? He says, the God of this world blinds the hearts of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We are saved by his word. We are enlightened by Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. We are given, dear ones, and it says here that with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, does that mean that our confession is what saves us? No. Matter of fact, we can't have just obedience to a set of precepts. That's not what saves us. What saves us is submission to a person, and that is Jesus Christ. And so our faith, we believe, as it says here, the heart, with the heart, the man believeth. That is our entire core of who we are. We have to be believed and enlightened by Jesus Christ, saved by his word, which is Christ himself, saved by him. And with that, then, we can make a confession. The outpouring of who we are comes out through the living, our everyday life. So therefore, dear ones, we don't do something to be saved. Whatever we do, it comes from the well within us. That water which comes from within us, it comes out of us. And we do the things that we do because we are saved. Because I am saved, I will follow the commandments of God. Because I am saved, I will love mankind. Because I am saved, I will preach the gospel. Yes, each one of us are preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ through our confession of our faith, through our life, our living. Can man look at you today and see the gospel of Christ, the light of Jesus Christ in you? Is your life a testimony of Jesus Christ, him crucified? That means everything in my life, everything that I express in my life, the way I walk and talk, the way I dress, where I go, what I listen to, what I watch, everything has to be an expression of a new birth. Of Jesus Christ in me, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ found in Jesus Christ himself, in him alone. This is, dear ones, the confession of our mouth. This is what the mouth means. It's our life. It's our life. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Dear ones, we will not be ashamed at his appearing. We will not be ashamed to proclaim him. You can't. You can't be. If your faith is in him, you cannot be ashamed. If you're ashamed, there's something that is lacking, and that's faith. We lack faith. And yet we see here, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't call upon him unless you have faith. And if you have faith, that confession will be made with our life. So, dear ones, we can look. We can look today, every one of us, at who Christ is. And we can ask ourselves, is what Apostle Paul is speaking of here of the Jew, one that has a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge? They're ignorant. Am I ignorant of God's righteousness as I set about to establish mine own? How would I establish mine own righteousness? How? Well, we do that when we ignore God's word. When I say it's okay to do something that the Word of God leaves us clear instructions on what holiness is. Holiness, God Himself. Purity, meekness, God Himself. This is all who God is. It was all this, the image was in Jesus Christ. We saw God in Jesus Christ. We saw Him. We see Him in the Word. That's what saves us. We see Him clearly. If anything that He has lived, a life that He has lived, the righteousness that He gives us, if we dismiss it and as something that is not necessary, then I am saying that I will establish my own righteousness, and I will do it my way, and God has to save me because I've confessed that I'm a Christian. And we can do that very easily, dear ones. We can go about to establish our own righteousness, and we forget God's holiness and who God is. And He says here, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Dear ones, this isn't a word that we can just recite. Salvation hinges on these words and what it means. This isn't just a recital. I accept the Lord and I am saved. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. It is when I believe in Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. When I go to the cross, it is there only that the exchange takes place. And when I go to the cross, I die. I'm dead to who I am, who I was. You can't recognize me anymore. I look like who I am, who I was, but there's no more of that. They were afraid of the Apostle Paul. The early church was afraid of him. We know who he was. He went about. He killed Christians. But when they met Paul, they knew who Saul was. But when they met Paul, there was none of him there. He died. He was a new man in Christ. And that's what he tells us, dear ones, that this new man must come out in the expression that is made by our life. And he goes on and he says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. What advantage does the Jew have today? Zero. What advantage does anyone have today? None. There's only one way. He calls the Jew the same way he calls the Gentile today. Christ. It's him. Believe in him. Give your life to him. Submit to Christ. In your submission to Jesus Christ, you will follow his commandments. They will be dear to you. You won't look, how close can I go before I fall over the cliff? How close can I go? No, faith doesn't do that. Love of the Lord doesn't do that. Love looks to be in the center of Christ. Never ashamed to express what He did for you, how He changed you and made you into a new man. He talks about faith, that others will only be able to have this faith by the preaching that you and I will do of Christ. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, dear ones, a servant of God today is a preacher of Jesus Christ. And so, he says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Can you say, well, I'm not a preacher? I'm not a preacher. Well, you don't want to preach the gospel of peace? You don't want to talk about the gospel, the only means by which a man can be saved? You're not ready to speak of him? Maybe your life defies your words. Maybe you can't preach. Maybe I can't preach to those I see because, well, the confession of my life is not matching to the glorious light that Jesus Christ has shined in this life. He says he is the only way. Satan brings darkness, Christ brings light. He is the light of the world. And dear ones, as I preach him, as you preach him, as we bring out that faith that is within us in the expression of that faith that is made through our lifestyle, a life of meekness, a life of love, and a life of temperance, and all that the fruit of the Spirit brings about in us, that is preaching. And when a man sees that, they can believe in him and then also. He says to Israel, he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto disobedient and gainsaying people. And so, dear ones, if that is a description of us, how can we say? Because Israel in the law and everything that was, everything in there, because Paul wouldn't bring Moses up here if Moses wasn't a preacher of the gospel himself. Moses and everything in the law, as Paul says, the law was a schoolmaster that would bring me to Christ. The law was a schoolmaster that brought me to Christ. Moses saw that and knew that. And so, dear ones, when we look at the law of God, we look at the commandments of God. Paul says it is not possible for a man to keep the commandments of God. That means if I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to be saved by strict obedience to the law of God, okay, go ahead. But there's no man that can do that. Cannot be done. Any wayward thought, any expression of rising of anger or anything, you've sinned. You're going to be judged by that. And so faith, though, is far, far more powerful, way more powerful, because it is based on Christ and our love for him, and he then is the power. He then is the one who gives us the power to be able to have the faith in him that will be expressed and confessed in the life that we live, and is done all with joy. A joy that comes from not the circumstances in life. Because there ones, I know many, many a Christian who have had a life that I wouldn't desire, who have lived a life that they were tortured, they were beaten in prisons and so on, or lived in poverty and so on. And yet throughout that, despite the circumstances of life, they had a joy. This joy is a monopoly of heaven. It only comes from there. So yes, joy, love, peace, it's all heaven sent. It comes from the source, which is Christ himself. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. And so, dear ones, for the joy that is set before us, we also must endure the cross and despise the shame. All day long I stretch forth my hands, and they're disobedient. And many Jews have died without ever accepting Christ. Many Gentiles have died without ever accepting him. And yet many lived with a zeal that thought they were following Jesus Christ, and they're lost. They have a zeal of God. Paul says, I know that. But not according to the knowledge of who Jesus is. And so, dear ones, once again, we are called to learn of who he is and to find our life in him. To look at him and not to try to establish our righteousness by doing what we think is right, but look at the word. Anytime we have a discussion of what is right, dear ones, let's open the word. We can find it there. Every time we have a question within ourselves, we can look into the word and we will find a clear direction. It's not cloudy. It's not murky. Man wants to make it that way. But the Apostle John, he spoke everything in such absolutes. He talked about life, death, light, darkness. It was absolute. There's nothing in between. And that's what the Word of God is. It's all in absolutes. Man likes to make it what he'd like to make it to be. But then we will be like Paul says, they have a zeal. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by the word. As Peter also said, it is the word. It is what will save us. And so do we know him? Do we know his word? And so may this evening, dear ones, be a simple reminder of what God is asking of each one of us. He is stretching forth his hands to us all day long. Are we accepting him, or are we establishing our own righteousness? His righteousness is only at the cross. Life comes there. The instrument of death for the old man, where new life is given in Christ Jesus. May he bless his word upon each one of our hearts this evening. Amen.
Since on the Sabbath day and not do any work on the Sabbath day, and thought that that would account to them for righteousness. And many other things did the Jews do that they thought would account for righteousness. And they were zealous about it. We read that in the Gospels. They were very zealous about those limitations of their view of righteousness that they thought. They were very zealous about it, but it wasn't according to knowledge. And Jesus had to rebuke them often because of their lack of understanding about what righteousness was. And so here Jesus was saying what righteousness is and how we glorify him by having faith. And we read it again tonight where it says, for with the heart man believeth, has faith, and it's accounted unto him for righteousness. So he has faith, and now he has righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Because what's now in the heart is coming out of our mouths. And so the Apostle Paul in the beginning of this book writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, that has faith. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. When we have faith, we have God's righteousness. And we speak forth of the gospel of Christ, of the truth that is written here in God's word. And so in these first few chapters of Romans, Paul is making that case, that righteousness comes by faith. And he made that case with using the example of Abraham. And he said, Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith toward God Not his own righteousness. He didn't go about establishing his own righteousness, but he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness because he had faith. And this is the glory that is given unto God because faith dwells in the heart, because belief is in the heart that comes to salvation and to righteousness. And this gives glory to God and not our own righteousness, not the washing of the hands and of the pots and all the other things that we might place value on, but has no value in terms of righteousness. So here is the righteousness which gives glory to God, and righteousness was imputed unto Abraham. Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, which was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He believed God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He had faith, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And this is how we give glory to God, by having faith in our hearts, not by having our own righteousness, but by having faith in our hearts, we give glory to God. And being fully persuaded, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God hath promised, he was able to perform. He didn't consider his body dead, neither Sarah's womb dead. He staggered not at the promise of with unbelief, but he believed, and he gave glory to God. When we believe, we give glory to God. When we believe, we have his righteousness now imputed unto us. And this is the gospel message. And we are not ashamed of it. And we proclaim it because it brings salvation. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.